Church of God the Eternal presents a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, March 25th, 2013.
A very enthusiastic greeting to all of you in this short evening service on that night that we call the night to be much observed. It is this night now, with the sun having just set, that ushers in the beginning of a seven-day feast, the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. So this is the beginning of a high holy day, the first day of unleavened bread. And more than that, now this is the first night, the night portion of that day, which God gave to us a very special command, a command to assemble and to celebrate. So it is a commanded celebration, and for reason. As I began to introduce to you at the Passover service last night, the concept of the name of the Lord, or the name of Jesus Christ, is something which is used by many, and yet little understood. The name of the Lord has been a concept having meaning all the way back to the time that God first began to work with Israel as a nation. So let's go back to Exodus 3. Because here, when God commissioned Moses in order to be his spokesman and to go to Israel and to be the physical instrument by which he was going to make that exodus possible, the salvation physically of a slave people to come out and to be a free nation blessed under God. He called Moses to be that instrument, and Moses was hesitant. He was afraid because there were so many ways for everything to go wrong. God called Moses to fulfill a great commission. Moses was afraid that he would have no power or credibility to carry it out. So here in Exodus 3, verse 13, we read, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So there's God pronouncing his own name, the one, although this God has many names, titles, those names which reflect different aspects of his character and his role. And yet, for this purpose, God emphasized to Moses that he is the I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The eternal God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so it's present tense. He is the ever-living God. He's had no beginning, and he shall have no end. So it's very appropriate to think about him in terms of present tense. He is the I am. The significance of God's name was seen in the way that he fulfilled his promise to save Israel by great miracles and to make them into a nation. So let's turn to Exodus 12. And as we do on this night, by tradition, Mr. Raymond Cole would have this short service, sermonette, if you will, not because we're commanded or by tradition have had a whole service on the opening night of the seven-day feast of unleavened bread, but more so as a purpose to help us understand what we're doing here. Yes, it's a celebration, so we're going to eat, we're going to fellowship, we're going to have a wonderful time. It is a Sabbath, so we follow the rules concerning Sabbath conduct, and yet God wants us to rejoice. But we need to understand and remember why. So Exodus 12, verse 29, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said." This was one of the things that Pharaoh was balking at in past conversations with Moses, where he was trying to negotiate. "Okay, well, I'll let you go, but you have to do this. Well, you can go, but you can't take your animals with you. Or you can only do this and you only do that." So he was trying to put limitations and restrictions upon it. And ultimately, through those 10 plagues, God broke him down until finally this final 10th horrifying plague of the death of the firstborn was that which totally broke the spirit of Pharaoh to resist the will of God. So now he's making no conditions upon Moses whatsoever. He's abandoned that whole orientation. He's saying, "You can have everything you want, the way you want it. Just get out of here. Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." God had put them progressively into the circumstance so that they feared for their lives if they resisted his will any longer. I wonder how that is going to be played out in the last days. Before the return of Jesus Christ, the same circumstances are going to fall upon mankind. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So they went out not just a free but destitute people. They went out a wealthy, well-supplied, provisioned nation. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, so several million all told. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, the flocks, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. And so that's one of the meanings of unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. It doesn't have leavening in it because there was no time. That's how quickly God can work and will work when it's the right time to fulfill an element of his plan. They were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. And so that's very similar to the calling that many of you have received. And the moment that God called you, you were going about your business in a different direction, and it was sudden, it was unexpected, and it changed your life. And you were required to act right away. And those of us who didn't act right away have paid a price too. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And how many of them through all those generations thought, "God has abandoned us. Maybe he doesn't exist, or maybe he's not a good God." And yet it was being carried out right on time according to a perfect plan. And when it was time, it happened suddenly, unexpectedly, and it went very quick, and there was no time even to put leavening in the bread. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so you and I, my dear friends, are part of one of those generations. The generations of that period we call the last days. Spiritual Israel, not just physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, more importantly, the ones that God had always included and intended to include. Spiritual Israelites, those who have embraced this way regardless of your physical lineage, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism now have become a part of the true Israel of God. And so it is to you that God commands that you observe the 7-day feast of unleavened bread, beginning with this special celebration tonight, recognizing what it means in the overall master plan of the Father, the coming out of sin, the escape, finally, the means to escape from the brutality and the restriction of slavery in this world. You have a chance to come out. You've been offered it like the majority of these people in the world have not. This is your time. It is a wonderful blessing, brethren. It's not a curse that you know the law of God and the truth and have been called to this way of life. You are blessed of all people because you've been given this opportunity, and God wants us to celebrate this night and to remember the meaning of these things as we begin this 7-day feast. That same God is still working powerfully to fulfill a very awesome plan, and His credibility is at stake. His name is on the line because He's made promises to follow through. And if He doesn't follow through, then He will be shown to be a liar or at least incompetent, and that's just simply not going to occur. His name is on the line. As those who have been called now to know Him and to accept His name, truly, we have much to celebrate on this very special night of memorial.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, March 25th, 2013.